Hey guys, and welcome to The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to be talking about the under and over effect. Now, this is something I've put up with for all of my life. And when I didn't understand it, it kind of scared me a little bit. I always felt wrong. I always felt like I was making a mistake. Nothing kind of worked. And I've had a really interesting experience of it recently that I wanted to share and explain what the whole thing is. So let's dive into today's episode. Let's go. Okay, so this episode is all about the over and under effect. Now, this is an effect that I've found in my life over the years, and it's all to do with change. So what I want you to picture, and I'll start with a story about how this came back to me, is there are different times in my life where I'm triggered to create a change in my life. Maybe it's learning something new that's actually sunken in. Maybe it's accepting something I've heard 1,000 times, but for whatever reason, it's been told to me in just the right way. So it sinks into my brain and I'm ready for change. Maybe I've sought out that information that shifts. So I'll give you a great example. I'm trying to move at the moment from eating chips and dip, because it's one of my secret foods that kind of gives me that dopamine hit. And I'm trying to move to carrots. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as the episode goes on and how I'm doing that. But, that change came about because I'm trying to get healthier. And I made that call at the beginning of the year. And this seems like another little step. It's a huge step. But I had to seek out some information for that to work. Actually, let's talk about carrots right now, just because I feel like I'm in the zone. So, you know, one of the things I do love is carrots. And but one of my biggest challenges is I walk into the pantry. When I say walk in, open the pantry, and I see snacks. And we have snacks for Holly's daughter. We have snacks for Stephen as well. You know, let's be honest. I enjoy a good snack. But my challenge is I sometimes over-snack. I quite easily over-snack. And what I started to do is buy bags of carrots, because carrots are quite cheap. They're quite inexpensive. They're nutritious and delicious. But I was always finding myself dipping into the chips before I'd go to the carrots. And I forget, because the carrots are in a drawer to keep them alive, you know, or not alive, but edible for as long as possible. I would forget they were in the fridge. You know, that's the catch of those cold drawers. You don't always see what's in them. And when you're hungry, my brain goes to what it's known for longer. So a few things I did. I said, okay, what are the things of knowledge that I need to learn or be aware of that are holding me back from like devouring an amazing amount of carrots? Like, I'll be a rabbit, right? So I had to ask myself, that was the first question. So I went out and did my research, and I knew that one thing I'd heard is if you ate too many carrots, you started to turn orange. And that made me fear that something bad would actually happen to me in the long run, right? So that was the picture I had. I'd heard a sly comment years ago, and that affected my beliefs around carrots. Now, I know this is a really strange topic to get a point across, but, you know, hey, this podcast is fun and interesting, right? And so I decided to do my research, and I found that actually you can eat as many carrots as you like. You can't OD on carrots. You know, what an odd challenge to be living through. And the other thing is, you know, if you eat a ridiculous amount, your skin can go orange or yellow a little bit. And so, but it's not harmful in the slightest. And if you stop eating them, you will change back. So I laughed and said to myself, actually, this could give me a full year tan just by eating enough carrots. So I was like, there's a positive in this. So by getting that knowledge, though, I no longer have a fear that if I eat too many carrots, there's a problem. So I've removed that objection from my brain. So that's a big one. And when I looked at it, I said, okay, I also then did the mathematics. Like, I can devour a 150-gram bag of chips. You know, has anyone got that challenge where if you get a block of chocolate and open it, it just is gone, right? You know, it takes a lot of mental willpower, little bit by little bit, not to devour those things. And sometimes it's easier not to have them around. So I have that challenge. So I was like, okay, so what else do I have to change or understand in my brain? What knowledge do I need? So what I did is I worked out, what are the calories of a big bag of chips versus the calories of a carrot? So I think I worked out I could have 40 carrots for one big bag of chips. Now, there is no way I am going to go and eat 40 carrots in a row. That's not happening, right? I go one by one. If I had a real carrot moment, I might have 3 carrots. But I'm never going to devour 40 carrots like in one sitting, where I can truly do that with a bag of chips. You become a mindless eater and just carry on with it. So I actually did that mathematics. I went, wow, 40 carrots. Not only that, is there's a lot of water in them. There's nutrition. I did some research on the cancer, you know, benefits of it, the heart benefits. You know, it's not a huge amount, but there's enough. And so what I've done in my brain is I've told myself, wow, carrots are a million times better than salt and vinegar crisps. So that's cool. So that's a tick as well. So what I've done is I've started to mold the knowledge my brain has and get really clear about it. I've taken some time to do it visually so I can see the carrots, 40 carrots versus one bag of chips. I see that in my mind. That is clear. Now, the last thing I needed to adjust in my head was when I go into the pantry, how do I remind myself carrots exist? Because at that moment, carrots don't exist in my life. They're gone. They're not there. And I can't leave them out on the bench or they'll go off too quickly. So what I decided to do is I got Holly's daughter to design this beautiful carrot picture. Now, she drew it. Now, one of the reasons I want to be fitter is I want to be around a long time to see her grow up and have a child of my own at some point. But the big thing about that is I needed this picture. So she drew it. So every time I look at this picture now, I'm not only going to see a carrot, but I'm going to see her, because she drew it for me as a gift, this picture. She even signed it. I think she wants to be an artist. Hopefully she's a famous artist, and this carrot picture could be worth millions. Just be aware of that. I have that. Just putting that down in the voice history of this podcast. And then what I did is I put it in the pantry where the chips are. So every time I go in there, I see this beautiful carrot and I'm reminded. So those were the major things I've done to change. Now, hopefully that's interesting. I find it interesting. But the point of this podcast is the over and under effect. And what is that? And it only took me 6 minutes to get into it. But what it means is whenever I make a massive change, I go overboard with the change. When I became vegetarian, I became one of those vegetarians that told everyone how great I am and how easy it was and how all these changes happened. I didn't do it in a way to be mean. I did it because I was overexcited about it and wanted everyone to experience it. And it was great. And I was like the perfect vegetarian. And then 2 weeks later, I'd gone too far too fast and went the complete opposite way. It was like Hannibal Lecter. You know, I was eating meat and, you know, do you know what I mean? And then what happened over time is I ended up bringing probably 20-30% more vegetarian food into my diet, and I kind of fell into the right zone for me. So I had to go down this insane vegetarian path to get to a happy place. So I went overboard to come backwards again and come back. And that's the key, is when massive change happens, we go so far down a track. Another thing that happened is I was sleeping in till 7:30 in the morning, and I wanted to wake up earlier. I know my brain works better when I'm up earlier in the morning rather than late at night. And so I decided I want to get up at about 6, 6:30. That's my happy place for getting up. So I need to set an alarm. So I tried that for a while, and I really got myself focused on waking up early. But what happened? I started waking up at 4 a.m. and you know, however happy Holly was that I was up that early in the morning and waking her up at the same time, as she reminds me, I'm not a light-footed human being, however much I try. Has anyone had that when you're trying to be quiet, you seem to be louder than ever? You're so focused on it, you end up hitting everything that could make a sound. So that was what was happening. And so I ended up for about a week and a half now getting up at 4 a.m., and I'd find things to do. And what I was noticing is that because I'd gone that far, it started becoming a habit. And I'm like, wow, this is not good for me, because I was getting tighter and tighter in the afternoon. And if you know, with dyslexia, sleep is so important. If you don't get sleep, you will pay for it. So I've had to go all the way back and go, okay, so what have I done? Like, my goal was about 6:30, and I've kind of decided 6 a.m. is a better time. And I've gone all the way to 4. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a marker down and go, actually, let's come back to 6 o'clock. So I'm finding it easier to wake up at 6 than ever before because I was waking up at 4. I'm finding myself sometimes wake up at 4, but then I'm forcing or telling myself I'm going back to bed till 6. And so it's interesting. The over and under effect of change is actually part of who we are sometimes. And this may not be for everyone, but I'm sure you will have experienced it somewhere in your life. You know, when our brains get fixated visually on something for whatever reason, our brains are so powerful, they push us beyond our limits. Like, I never thought I'd get up at 4 a.m. If you told me you're going to get into a habit of waking up at 4 a.m., I would have told you to do something with that thought. So it's really, really important to remember that the power of our minds, when we set something in them and we're really committed to it, not like half committed, not half wanting something because someone else tells us we should want something, but when we really want it, it makes a massive impact in who we are and what we do. So this is what I want to share today, guys. Hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully you can apply that and see that in your own life and how it affects you. Hopefully you enjoy the carrot story. Thank you so much for your time. And that's me for today. I'll be back in 2 days' time. And I'm really getting close to having this mini series started. So touch wood, as I said, by the end of this week, we will have the first episode live and I will share it with all of you. Thank you for checking out The Truth About Dyslexia. If you've enjoyed this episode, make sure you've subscribed on wherever you listen to podcasts. If you did like it and want to give me a review, I would super appreciate it. And thank you to all those who are sharing the podcast with their friends. This makes a massive impact to people living with dyslexia and other neurodiversities like ADHD. We've also currently got a webinar that's about to go live around dyslexia and confidence. To find out more about that, it should be in the show notes, or visit truthaboutdyslexia.com for more and to secure your place. We do have limited seats.